following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
It's the Stone Cold and Jackal Show.
Really? That's what you came up with for our intro?
All right, Steve. Well, we have, you're a very handsome man, as I've said many times.
Yeah. No, I'm going to introduce this guest. You're not going to introduce this guest. No. No.
Oh, I know it's your kind of. I like him so much.
I know, but it's your little competition on the show, and I know you're a little jealous.
Oh, that's right. But I hadn't even thought of that, and now I'm a little fired up.
Okay, good. So that makes it easy for me to introduce my new friend. My new friend, who's one of the coolest cats on the show.
Ain't that the truth?
And I'm happy that he's agreed to be a guest here. It's Donnell Turner.
Gentlemen.
What's going on, man?
Hey, woo, woo.
Here's the best thing, right? I got his number from somebody ask him to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
And you mentioned before when we were doing mic testing, it was bass. You should hear his voicemail, dude. It's like Barry White.
Well, yeah.
It's like, I can't even get that low, Donnell.
You've reached.
Yeah, totally. It's
I wanted to pump a little fear into bill collectors or whoever's calling. You know, I want to intimidate.
I was going to ask you out.
There's that too.
Do you?
It's very R&D.
Do you have a service where you will record voicemails for friends and family?
No, but I'm thinking about it.
Do you do voiceovers?
I have a voiceover agent.
Yeah.
I've not booked anything yet.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. It's more difficult than one would think.
I know.
Because I don't know if I'm supposed to articulate when I go in the room they want it's, slang. You know what I mean?
I know. It's tough, man.
It's very difficult.
It's tough.
It's a tight group of people that do it.
Once
you break in, you tend to work and work and work. But when you're on the outside, it's tough to get
in. I've done one voice for video games and stuff for 20 years.
Wow.
I can't beg another job.
That's right.
I'm known as that, but I still don't. I can't either audition right, or I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You were mentioning that tight knit community.
Yeah.
I think they're called the Loop Group.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I know it's very exclusive, and they do not welcome people in. But
if you get in, you're in.
Because that might be a group term, but it's also a technical term for, like, on a show, you'll have a group of voice actors that go in in the post process and fill in any voice that needs to be filled in the background. And that's called Loop Group 2.
Absolutely.
So, but I'm sure it's a hashtag Loop Group as well.
Yeah. And I got to say, like, for instance, the Snickers commercial.
Yeah.
You know, there's different deliveries that I still struggle with. Do I say, need a moment? Or do I go, need a moment?
Oh, right. Interesting.
I mean?
Yeah.
Right. They call it bourbon.
Yeah.
And I want you to put that black urban on it.
Sure.
So I have to understand.
I've never been asked for that.
Well, they might. Just be prepared.
Be prepared. I'll have it in my pocket.
Yeah.
I always have bourbon in my pocket, which is funny. I never leave home without it.
That is true.
This bourbon might get you in less trouble, but then again, maybe not.
Yeah.
He is an alcoholic, so.
Oh, wow. Well, it's funny. So I've been up. I drove down from Sacramento this morning. And we have some Sacramento in common, don't we?
That's right. I grew up there.
That's
did
right.
Did you really?
Yeah, 17 years, actually. Yeah, high school, junior high, and college.
So
junior college.
Okay, where before that though?
Wow, Reading.
Reading,
small town Reading, up
further
north.
Right?
Sorry to step on your story, but
it's your story, dude.
And then before that, Chicago. So I went literally from not to make this weird, but where I lived, I never saw a white person in real life in Chicago, only on TV.
Sure.
Relocating to Reading, where we lived on a dirt road, and we were literally the only blacks in school.
Was it military?
My mom went to live with her mom, my grandmother, and her second husband was in the military.
Yeah,
he wound up up there. But I got to say, Reading was an awesome experience.
Yeah.
I did not experience any of those things that I was, my parents were afraid of being from the civil rights era in Chicago.
Sure.
We were warned, but Reading was lovely. It was a pleasant experience. I made some good, long-lasting friends.
That's awesome.
And then so when I went to Sacramento, of course, that was the big city.
Well, up there, yeah.
From Reading.
Yeah, sure.
And then it was like, whoa, diversity. And I had to deal with that all over again. But it was awesome. It was great.
Reading, Chicago, Reading, Sacramento. You got to Sacramento at what age?
Oh, wow. I was eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's great. And so do you still have family there?
Let's see. No, you know, I think my niece moved back. She's back and forth from Vegas and Sacramento.
Okay.
She was on American Idol.
Oh, my gosh.
And
was
so,
she
yeah,
went
she went
recently?
Very far about 3-4 years ago.
That's awesome.
And she went really far. And then.
What's her name?
Aranessa.
Okay, I'm
Turner.
Sure somebody remembers her. So.
Well, you know what? She's a chip off the old block. I'm going to go ahead and brag about my family.
Please do.
My brother is a multi-platinum artist.
From, oh, my gosh.
91, 92. He was in a group called Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Really?
Affectionately known as DRS.
Sure.
They had a song with Capitol Records that was number one for 7 weeks called Gangsta Lean. And they were the first singing group to walk, act, and dress like rappers.
Oh.
And so Ruthless Records and Eazy-E got a hold of it. MC Hammer got a hold of it. It was this novel thing. So there was a bidding war. I remember I was 19, 18 at the time. My brother was like, yo, we're in a bidding war between Eazy-E and MC Hammer.
Oh, my gosh.
At that time, MC Hammer's pockets were way deeper. So he won the bidding war.
Excites me.
And then like in 01, 02, there I was, 19 years old. They picked me to be in the music video. I'm the guy, bald-headed. I drive up in a 6'4 Impala that's hot.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
I'm playing a thug, right? And I'm thinking, oh, wow, my career's about to take off.
That's
cricket noises for like 20 years after that. But my brother went on to have great success with a singing group before he got screwed over by MC Hammer.
Oh,
and, wow. You know, froze his assets, led to his bankruptcy.
Oh, man.
My brother's owed, I hate to put his business out there, but I really don't. My brother's owed $38 million he'll never get.
What?
So imagine what that can do to someone.
Oh my gosh.
I got to see all sides of the sort of the entertainment industry. I played basketball, so
wow.
I got to see the sports side. I played semi-pro. I got to see the politics there. I got to see the politics in the music industry.
I mean, there's politics everywhere.
Brother.
I know. It's everywhere.
I worked in an office. There's office
it's
politics.
It's everywhere
yeah.
you go.
Yeah,
but
is.
That music business is tough stuff.
But
man.
No politics in soaps.
No.
Well.
Pretend.
On soaps.
Port Charles politics. But not behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Of course not. No.
Never. So, it's perfect here.
So
yes.
we often try to chart someone's journey from where they came from to how they got here, and it sounds like yours has got some twists and turns.
Brother.
So in high school, you weren't thinking acting, or you were?
Oh, I was.
You were. Okay.
You can't really talk about it because it's kind of embarrassing.
I see.
Where I was from, at least it was for me because I
yeah.
was star basketball player.
Okay.
And then I always had a plan. But I always thought basketball would be my segue into acting.
I see, sure. Space Jam was like your goal?
Yeah, I was a little older, but I was a little bit older, so Space Jam was kind of like, okay, I see what you're doing. But
right.
not to age myself, but in the 70s, there was a movie that Dr. J had called A Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
Right.
And that,
so that was
the impetus. Yeah,
I
man.
See. Yeah, yeah,
so
cool.
I did plays in church, plays in high school growing
yeah.
up. And I got bit by that bug early.
I see.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So you had the opportunities from a young age too, right? Was it something that was it in your family, like, or was it just in the community? Like, how did you find yourself in it?
Well, like I said, my brother was a singer.
Yeah.
But we grew up in the church. We have I'm blessed with a talented family.
Yeah.
So we started in church, and then we were doing plays. Mom was the choir director. My
awesome.
Brother played the piano. And sometimes the drums, and we just sung, and that was sort of like our first performances,
yeah.
and then Christmas plays, Easter
That's
plays
great.
Every year.
Yeah.
And so we knew then, and Mom to this day, I think, still wants to be on TV. So
That's funny.
In fact, when we saw Oprah back when she first came out, everybody that knew my family was like, look at this lady trying to act like your mom. So Mom was a lot like Oprah.
That's
she had that
funny.
Effect on young girls. And
wow.
In fact, I'm flying up to Seattle this weekend. She's getting her doctorate.
Oh,
wow.
my gosh. Good
yeah,
for her. That's
yeah.
amazing.
And she's the president of a Christian academy that she started. So
wow.
they're celebrating
cool,
their first
man.
Graduating class. Yeah.
So awesome. a motivated family, too, getting stuff done.
Getting it done. It's,
yeah.
it's not without its twists and turns. Though.
Hold this thought, because
mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
Because growing up, so you're performing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you started going on auditions and stuff, did you still – because stage fright was a big thing for me. Like, I could not get in front of people. I skipped drama class for 2 weeks straight.
Mm.
She said, you will be kicked out of the class if you don't get up and do a monologue. And I was throwing up.
Oh, man.
And I hated it. So that struck me when you were talking. I'm like, oh, this dude got to perform and got rid of the butterflies, and he was ready. And then it's audition time. So was there kind of a weird transition for you of being nervous or standing stage fright or not? Or were you fairly comfortable?
Sure. Early on, the parts were always given to me. I auditioned for a musical once, well before I was ready. Singing, I respect what you do, Bradford. Singing, you know, gives me the willies in public. But I'm nice in my car.
I bet. Oh yeah,
I'm like
I bet.
Luther. But yeah, basketball, I got to say, is performance art.
Oh, interesting.
And basketball really helped with that. You're in shorts and a tank
top. You're the center of attention. And
you're right there. The
pressure,
fans are right there.
Pressure
also. If
you
sneeze, they can say bless you. I mean, it's right there in your face. And so that was good performance. And plus, basketball is a game of ego. Now, I try to stay away from ego nowadays. But basketball being a game of ego really helped with, okay, you embarrassed me. I'm going to embarrass you. Oh. And that really fed that competitive drive that I have. So when I went into acting, you know, stage fright, yes, I had to work that out. I got some bad plays out there from the beginning that my family, who's always been gracious and supportive, they told me I was good either way. But I knew I sucked. but, you know, that's the good family, right, telling you, no, keep doing your thing. And by the way, side note, when someone after a performance tells you, you did your thing, that is the most vague thing one can say. That's code for
you. Yeah, you did your thing, man.
That's code for you kind of sucked, but I don't want to tell you.
I saw you up there. You were up there.
You looked comfortable.
You were there.
You did your thing. Yeah, awesome. You were there.
You did your thing. That's funny.
You did your thing,
I'm going to say that to him every after every performance we have now. You did your thing, man. You did your thing.
If you bang your heart and be like, yo, you did your thing.
Dude, you did your thing, Brad.
Wow, that's good to know.
It's very vague.
Oh, that's awesome.
So my family gave me plenty of you did your things growing up. and then auditioning for Hollywood. You know, it's its own thing.
Yeah.
Oftentimes the audition process is harder than actually being on stage.
100%.
Sure. And so I took classes on how to walk in a room and how to greet people, how to shake hands.
Sure, cold reading classes
cold
and all those.
Cold reading. Yeah, there's ice cold readings. Like Tyler Perry would have me come in and read 10 pages.
Yeah.
Like, can you get there in the next 2 hours? And then you walk in, it's 10 pages.
Yeah. Ugh.
So we, and in my journey, I've learned to expect everything, expect the unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you get those ice cold reads, you know, in soap operas, this is great practice for things like that. So
just working on your feet. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So I'm loving this.
So when did you come down to Hollywood? When did you make that move?
I packed up my Honda Civic 4-door. I stuffed it with everything I loved. Couldn't even see out the back window. And I drove here in 01 on April Fool's Day.
Wow.
There you go.
So was this when you realized basketball was done, or what was the impetus to come down?
Basketball was done at about 27. I ruptured my Achilles.
Ah.
And I knew that was God's way of saying we got other plans. Now, I was not a practice player, so I think I squandered my God-given ability.
Okay.
And, you know, I had my little talks with God about if I ever got an opportunity to do something I loved, I would not squander my ability. And so that was my thing. Around 27, you know, I started working in corporate world.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so not me.
Uh-huh.
I don't do cubicles well.
Yeah.
And I auditioned. This is what really got me to L.A. My girlfriend at the time, she says, you're never going to be happy. Everywhere I went in Sacramento, I worked on K Street downtown.
Oh, yeah.
And people would say, you know what? You look like you should be on a soap opera. You look like you should. And I thought, really? Really? You know, so now I start fixing my hair like, really?
Yeah.
And then I wrote Mark Teshner every day for about a year.
What?
Yo, people say I look like I should be on a soap. The only soap I ever watched was General Hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, I got nowhere. That doesn't work like that. But that's what I did. It made me feel proactive. And then I got into local theater, and I did some really cool plays at the Chautauqua Playhouse with Bill Rogers. Shout out to Bill. And then I auditioned for the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's very intimidating. They only enroll 158 people a year. And I remember this very intimidating lady auditioned me in this grand theater. It was the equivalent to like Pantages or something like that. And it was just her and I. And she completely broke me down. She made me cry. She intimidated me. I was like, I want this so bad. And I remember she looked over her glasses, you know, at me, and she says, I'm going to accept you. And she says, don't you make me look bad.
Ooh,
wow. All
and right. Through tears and sobbing, I was like, I won't. Can I hug you? And she said, no. and then I moved to L.A. When I came here, I landed a job on ER behind the scenes.
Ah.
Hit show ER. Yeah. I'm learning. Film schools would come to set and study us. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm learning. And I talked to people who went to AMDA, and they were like, yeah, you're going to learn defense, and you're going to learn this, and you're going to learn cool skills, you know. But you're a man of a certain age already. I was already 28.
Yeah.
And they were like, this is a school for 18-year-olds that are still learning. If you got any kind of skills, it might be a waste of time.
Interesting.
You're pushing 30.
Yeah.
So instead of paying 50-plus grand to go to school,
right.
I worked on a show, made 50 grand, and learned very, very practical knowledge about the industry.
A lot of technical stuff, too, I've
got. Yeah, it's the best. Yeah.
It's good to learn from the other side of the camera as well. I fancy myself as a working man. I'm, you know, I push my sleeves up and go to work, just like the crew.
Your sleeves are pushed up now.
This is how I do it. Yeah. You know, and the crew, they work hard. You know,
yeah.
We come and go, but they're there start to finish.
Brutal.
I am sensitive to the crew.
Brutal.
And what they do, so.
Brutal.
Yeah, man.
Wow. And so that's cool. That's a pretty good introduction to L.A. is being on that set.
Yeah, as dysfunctional.
In the heyday, too.
Oh, but it was dysfunctional.
Oh, I can imagine.
Wow. Man,
again, we talk about politics.
Well, you know, yes. Someone warned me, the AD, she goes, just no. Don't take anything personally.
Right.
And this is like a dysfunctional high school.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah. When the first couple years I was here was in the heyday of Grey's Anatomy. Because I was here in 06. I started in 06, 07, and they were in their second year. And all those originals were still there. And the next year or two is when the originals started to not get along. And, you know, and so I you know, and you see that.
So this is what I don't understand about this.
Uh-huh.
About that.
About that thing?
About that thing.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't want to make $250,000 a week anymore.
Right. It must really be terrible.
It must be so bad to put makeup on as a man. And make $250,000 a week that I hate this person so much that I'm just going to give that all up. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
And that's a low number because
even
on ER,
yeah.
I'm not going to mention names, but I know one was making $460 a week and complaining. And I remember there were two actors. It was my first lines on TV I got in a surgery. There's one episode that's me doing surgery. I got to say scalpel and all that with like six actors. I did four pages. I had to learn in 30 minutes. It was my first on-camera in Hollywood situation because one of the actors couldn't be on set at the same time with the other actor. Because when George Clooney left, there was a vacancy in the number one on the call sheet. So one got $23 million or $28 million over 3 years.
Yeah.
And the other one, to appease him, got number one on the call sheet.
Unbelievable.
So was that, they could not be on set at the same time. So lucky me, I got to sort of cut my teeth in the middle of surgery, tense.
So you got upgraded at the last moment because
absolutely.
That's so
four
good.
Pages.
Good
in
for
surgery.
You, though, man. Yeah. That's awesome. That's
nailed it. One take, man.
Bradford, I'll take the $28 million. You can be number one on the call
exactly.
sheet.
Right. Yeah, right.
That's what I said.
I'll be number 10 on the call sheet for $28 million.
For $28 million.
Oh, good golly.
Can you imagine the egos involved?
Oh, my gosh.
In
you guys got to just relax a little bit here.
It's crazy.
Like I said earlier, the ego, man, you know.
That'll kill
you. I was raised that ego stands for edging God out.
It will kill you, brother.
So I try
it will kill you. It will kill you, man.
And so that was how many years were you in that family?
Oh, I did three or four on ER.
Okay, cool.
And then I, as a stand-in, learned a lot, man. There's some cool people. I saw tons of guest stars. Got to see the process.
Dude, standing in's great.
Well,
it's a great way to get upgraded.
Yeah.
Because a friend of mine, Jeremy, that travels with us, he was an extra on a movie I did, and then he got bumped up to a stand-in, and then he got bumped up to on camera.
Movies are a lot easier.
Yeah.
Television,
yeah.
You're not getting upgraded.
Yeah.
Very rarely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But movies, because it's always on the fly. So
sure.
Like,
they're like, hey, you, get over here.
TV
can you talk?
Tom Cruise, right? Isn't that how he got his start?
Right.
In Taps. And so it happens. It doesn't happen often. I was warned.
Yeah.
You know,
don't
daily.
Get used to this? Or
well, get out of stand-in work. I'd have people ask me all the time, why are you a stand-in? And I'm like, yo, I'm just learning the biz, got to pay bills.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure,
and so I learned on ER that from our makeup lady, Valerie. She used to do makeup on The Cosby Show. And I said, Valerie, I got to get out of here, but I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet if I leave.
Yeah.
But I'm not here to be the caddy. I'm the golfer, right?
Right.
She says, Donnell, I feel like I'm talking to Sam Jackson. I said, what are you talking about? She said, I used to do makeup on The Cosby Show. Sam Jackson was Bill Cosby's stand-in.
Oh, my gosh.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
And Bill introduced Sam to Spike Lee, and he didn't get his start till 40-something also.
Yeah.
And he has an amazing career.
Oh, so he's in the Guinness book or something like for the most movies in a 5-year span. I mean, the guy is making up for lost time, and I got to say, I would probably do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Given the opportunity.
I mean, but that's pretty amazing that he got to start that late.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I have hope.
Well, it made me feel good. I was a stand-in at 42 until I signed on General Hospital at 42.
Well, and I just thinking of people that started late. Didn't Morgan Freeman also get a really late start?
He did. He had an earlier start because I used to watch him when I was a kid on Electric Company.
Oh, that's right.
Easy Reader. Remember Easy Reader?
Yeah, that's right. But I remember I was listening to an interview with him recently and in talking about people that have IMDb credits, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so yeah, that's the cool thing. It's never too late to start.
And he's awesome, too. Mm.
Theater and films need people of all ages at all times. So
agreed.
And now more than ever, honestly.
Yeah.
I was honored in 2015 to do a play by Ira Aldridge at the Matrix Theater on Melrose. Mm. I was the lead in a play called The Black Doctor. And Ira Aldridge was ostracized from the United States, but he's known affectionately as the Black Shakespeare. Hmm. And there's always been a sort of question mark in my whole acting game, like, could I do Shakespeare? Are you really, you know, I always challenge myself, like, you ain't the actor you think you are because you haven't done Shakespeare yet. I've done a myriad of plays, commercials, whatever, TV, all over the world, but I hadn't done Shakespeare. So I did that play, The Black Doctor, circa, I think, 1759 or whatever, learn the iambic pentameter, what I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh. I know I did it.
It was phenomenal. When you know what you're saying, it makes all the difference in the world.
I was too young to know.
Oh, that's
tough. I was 17, and did Romeo and Juliet. But it was just now it would be fun to try because now I can kind of understand – you know, from an acting standpoint, too, because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Right. But then to, you know, basically
to make sense of the
language, to translate, late it.
I get it. We rehearsed for 8 months.
Oh, wow.
And for 3 of those months, I didn't know what I was saying.
Sure.
8 months?
8 months. Oh, yeah. Before we put it on its feet. Well, people were dropping out and we're working with working actors. And
you guys all had other jobs, so you were like meeting once or twice a week. It's not like you're rehearsing, you know, 3 times.
We weren't doing that. Yeah. And they got me with a lady from London, and she's a Shakespearean whatever.
Yeah.
And we sat one day for about 4 hours, and she explained to me what I was saying and why. Boy, that made all the difference in the world.
Yeah, it sure does.
Memorization, no problem after that.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to memorize.
Do you have a hard time memorizing or no?
Typically, no.
Yeah.
All my friends marvel how I can just grab a page in a matter of minutes.
Sure.
Yeah. And then the soap process it'll expose you, though. I mean, there are times where you're up there like,
totally.
I got to work on my vacant face.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, though, when you're upstairs and you're working with someone that you can tell don't know what they're saying. You can tell, right? And when they go up, they're lost. Because they have nowhere to grab onto because they truly don't know what they're talking about. So they can't improvise. They can't put another word in because they haven't made sense of the material.
Right.
And if they forget the word, they're done.
And that's interesting.
And so it shows up in the performance, but it also shows up in the process.
In the eyes. Yeah. Sometimes those eyes.
Oh, when you see eyes on your forehead, you're like, they're picturing their words.
Or it's 4 beats too long.
Yeah, that, yeah.
You're like, should I wait? I'll wait one more beat.
Yeah,
and now I'm going.
Yeah,
and you know, in prime time, I come from prime time primarily, and you go up on the line, you can just stay there, wait a second.
I know,
and then just run it back.
How amazing is that?
That's a wonderful luxury,
right? Oh my gosh, what a cheater!
Yeah,
cheating, man. That I could do a line 10 times,
and they make more than we do. Come on,
come on, man.
Oh, well, it's always fun when you get a someone that is working here for the first time that's done prime time. They go up in a line and they just start talking, and then I kind of wait until someone else corrects them to be like, no, we have to stop because you messed up. We have to stop. But I never want to be the person to tell them.
The best though is watching film people come.
Yeah,
film people who never have done prime time. I don't know if I told you the story, but it was a guy who did a bunch of like B movies, mob movies, you know, you'd recognize his face, but you don't know his name. One of those guys. And he was just a real serious actor. And we get up on stage and it was a scene with me and Maurice. And, we basically shoot the scene. And he was like, all right, great. I'm ready to shoot this. And I'm like, no, the cameras start moving. I'm like, dude, it's over. He goes, what the F do you mean it's over? I go, that was it. We taped it, man.
That's amazing.
It was amazing because, being on a film set, there's a different hierarchy, right?
Sure.
Being on a primetime set, there's a different hierarchy. Being here. So he was like asking the camera guys for, hey, can you give me some water? Can you give me a cup of water?
Can you
give me a cup of water? I'm like, dude, this guy.
Oh,
it's just funny to watch a fish out of water because, they're so used to their process. And then you get here and you're like a deer in headlights. And,
It's important to... and what I learned early on in acting class, know your genre.
Know your genre.
And I've watched, when I worked primetime, we'd have many big screen actors. And people, the average fan or spectator doesn't really realize that there is a difference in our acting techniques, big screen, primetime, daytime.
Sure.
And I saw a big screen actor fail miserably, a popular Oscar award winning big screen actor come to small screen, try to lead a show. I helped him try to start. I was his stand-in. And those long beats, those don't play in prime time.
No, they don't.
You got to hit the ground running. There's no time to be pensive for, 45 seconds on prime time.
Yeah, you can't.
You
can't. You
got to tell the story.
They'll
you
cut
can't
it.
Sit and look out a window, like you can in a big screen. So it didn't work. It got canceled immediately. And so it's important to know the genre. I mean, I came to GH and I wanted to add a little humor at first. And I get it, but it's serious. It's a prime. It's a soap and... I know laughter is universal, but at the same time, I don't want to always be funny and be the punchline. But I think there's room for a little laughter in Port Charles.
Gosh, I hope so.
Honestly, I'd find the comedy wherever you can, or the jokes wherever you can.
Right on.
Because there's too many people who are serious.
That's my thought.
That's why he's a breath of fresh air when he comes on. It's like, somebody who's not dying. Or someone whose kid's not dying, or your mom didn't just get shot, or you know what I mean? It's like you need that light, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's – I think it's important to find that.
Well, because also
– If you can, because your character can. I can't be fun. I can't joke like I do in real life.
Right.
You can, which you should find those moments, man.
Also, when you have those moments where you have to be when it gets to be that serious – then there's some different colors and it lands more.
Yeah, you have somewhere to go.
Someone that just is always this, always this, always this. I gotta go.
Are you imitating somebody right now?
But you know what I'm saying? You're every day, and then my kids got shot. When you're carrying the weight of the world in every moment, when you actually do have to carry the weight of the world, it doesn't land.
Imitating me, essentially. Thanks.
Yeah, so.
Even as a kid, I used to say, how come no one ever smiles in soap operas? As a child, I wonder, how come the scene will start with them laughing, but when it ends, they're not smiling.
Yeah.
And so, I came in with that just a little more lighthearted, but stuff gets serious in Port Charles, man.
Oh, it does.
It goes down.
Yeah.
So, wait, your mom watched the show? Who watched the show?
My mom, my grandmother.
So that was in your family?
Real talk. It's been widely documented. I used to come inside in the summertime.
Yeah.
We would be outside playing war or football.
I love war. Remember? And football.
Yeah. And then, 150. We'd all go inside, make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and be right there front and center watching Luke and Laura.
From as early as you can remember.
Back in the Luke and Laura, so I'm talking
80s.
10. Yeah, I was about 80, 10.
Yeah,
11.
Okay.
82.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't sure if you were like 3 years old watching GH.
Fair enough.
Because, well, I mean, there's plenty of people that have their,
put their kids on high chairs in front of the TV.
Yeah. I probably was because my grandma was big on her stories.
Of course.
So I probably might have been, but it really resonated with the Luke and Laura. I was like, okay, he's got the curly hair. Back in the 80s, we had the Jerry curl. I can achieve that.
Dude, that was the best white man perm ever. That thing was amazing.
I wanted it. I'm trying to tell you. I'm like, okay, I can get this.
I love it.
Yeah, a Jerry curl, and I got this. I wanted to be the black Luke. And between that, saying those words, I want to be the black Luke. And then fast forward, a decade, and in the 90s, I'm writing them.
And you're writing Teschner.
Teschner a decade later.
Did you remember those letters? Listen, man, you
put that out there, man.
I did, right?
I know.
And then fast forward another, we'll say 2 decades.
It's amazing.
Here I am. So,
that's pretty amazing
story. I believe
story.
I manifested it a little bit. Yeah.
I agree with you.
And then to meet Tony Gary. And he tells me, yo, we have similar characters. And then we sat and talked. I mean, he would talk to people and then come back to me. Hold on, stay here. Talk to people, come back to me.
He's such a gracious guy.
What a guy. Yeah. And we talked, and it was the first time, other than when I met Mr. T, it was the first time that I fanboyed and actually, like, I might have got a little misty, guys.
Of course. Yeah, I did. I get that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's a picture we took, and in the picture, I have red misty eyes.
Oh. Dude.
He might have had red eyes for a different reason. But.
Well.
You're stupid.
It was late.
It was a late night. It was a late night in Amsterdam.
Legend. He's a legend.
No, dude. He's not just a legend. It's like the guy transcends. Because you can say that people are legends who've been on the show 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
But right. The dude's acting is so far above every other legend. Mm-hmm. He just changed everything on daytime. You took a guy who was not your prototypical daytime actor, and he threw it upside down.
Sure did. Yeah.
That's what he did.
Sure did.
You know, he broke the mold, dude.
Yeah.
He broke the mold for guys like you to come,
Bradford. Oh, thank goodness.
Starbucks does not need another barista.
No.
Thank God he did that for you.
Yeah, I know, because that's the only other option I have. It's,
hey,
it's true.
Shout out to Starbucks. I did it for a minute.
it's a good place to work.
And people love that coffee, pound a week they get. Sling that like.
Oh, that's one of the perks of working.
I was the guy
free...
with the trench coat. I'd open my coat and be like, "What you want? Sumatra? What you got? I got you.
I like
I got
that.
You. Yeah, and I mean, I got free movies because I worked at the farmer's market.
Oh yeah,
right when the Grove was being built.
Oh, you
when
did?
I yeah, I was there when the Dude, Grove opened. Our line was out the door. It was ridiculous. But all those shops there in the farmer's market, free food, free movies at the Grove when it opened.
Oh, dude.
All for a bag of coffee.
I grew up there in that farmer's market.
Yes, sir.
I did.
Good stuff there.
From the 70s.
Before the Grove was built?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 1977 I started going there with
my dad. Yeah, the farmer's market was there in its...
Oh, dude.
Forever.
Forever. 30s? 40s?
Probably the 40s.
And those booths were set
up
in a similar... All the same, yeah.
They were all... Nothing's changed.
Right.
Like, literally. I walked in there 20 years later because I boycotted it because of the Grove.
Oh, really?
I was upset.
Yeah.
When did the Grove move in there?
That was about... Let me see. I worked there probably in 02, 03.
Okay. 03.
So I got very upset.
Yeah.
You know, and because that was me and my dad's spot.
Yeah.
Like, we'd go there all the time. And that was just a big parking lot out there.
Sure
there was nothing out there.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And they built this thing. I'm like, forget this place. I'm not going. And then I went, and the farmer's market did not change at all.
I love
the toy store is in the same spot. All the places are in the same spot.
Yeah, it's so cool.
But it's just connected.
I did go last week for the first time, and I don't know how long. There's a barber shop there next to the Starbucks. So... That might be something new.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's still the place with the nuts.
Oh yeah. No, I went to that barbershop.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I got beautiful. My hair cut there.
All right. Well, they do good work.
Yeah. they did. But yeah, I love that I'd run over there when doing Y&R. I'd run over to that Starbucks all the time.
Nice.
It's awesome. I love farmers market.
Well,
man.
Yeah, in LA, there's not a lot of places where people are around other people. So, like, the Grove, I actually. You know, although the Grove part with all the Nordstroms and the Apple stores, that feels so like fake in a way. You know, like but it's beautiful.
Right.
But what I love about the farmers market is that, you know, having lived in New York City for a lot of my adult life, where you're just passing people and you're part of something. LA doesn't feel like a community oriented city, but at the farmers market, you feel that's like you actually feel connected to other people, even if you're not. Even if you're alone.
Well, it's cool because you can have dinner out there because Doug Davidson and I would go all the time and eat there at the French restaurant.
Yeah, dude.
Marcel's?
Yeah. I don't know. You took us there once. It was so good.
It was fantastic.
Oh,
and
awesome.
I go, this is literally because you look down, there's like stringed lights and a guy's playing the thing. What's that thing?
Accordion?
Accordion. And I'm like, this is as close to Europe as I'll ever get.
Why? You don't like Europe?
I love Europe, but I have a wife and kids who won't.
Got it.
I mean,
that's a long flight.
That's a long flight. Yeah. So, but I'm like, this is cool, man. This is cool in here. Anyway.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when did you come to GH? How long ago?
It was 3 years ago last Monday. So October 29th.
But who's counting?
I am, man. This has been the fastest.
3 years of your life?
3 years. But when I look back, I'm like, man, so much has happened. Good gracious.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, lots happened. But it's been a whirlwind. It's been exciting. I love touring. I love seeing the country. I love going to places I probably would not have otherwise gone to.
Yeah.
Doing the event, fan events.
The
and
fan
stuff.
Events.
Yeah,
those are great.
Cool.
Shaking hands.
Love
kissing
it,
babies. Yeah, that's
the best.
Wonderful.
Nobody lets me kiss their baby.
Yeah. What's the approach?
Well, it's the beard.
Yeah. It's scratchy.
It's the beard. Well, it's this whatever beard that is. It's not really a beard.
Yeah.
No, that's a beard. It's he's got the official one.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, I've seen you grow one, and it's pretty fantastic.
Listen, thank you. Beard
envy.
It's getting harder.
We have beard envy here.
Yeah.
We do have beard envy, for sure. I do.
It's turning gray. And
that's what's so cool about
dude,
it.
Dude, very hard to... The gray hairs grow all catamounts. They don't lay down like the black hairs used to. Man.
Mine is white.
No. Really?
White beard.
Really?
This guy laughs because...
Why are you laughing?
Because he's a dick. Because he's a dick. That's why he's laughing. Because anything.
Yours,
no, dude,
no. Anything. Listen,
it's
bro.
Starting to, it's starting to get the little.
Have you seen this guy's body? He's fine.
Nubile?
I'm saying because he loves anything that has to do with me getting old. He
oh,
loves.
It's the best.
He loves.
Oh,
okay. He loves. Yet he won't do a push up.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why
are you allergic to the gym?
There's plenty of other things you can do instead.
That's
true. I get my exercise.
That's true.
Doing you get other things.
No?
Oh, don't start. Don't even start that. I don't even know what you're talking about, and I don't want to know.
Okay. Low, more low impact stuff.
I'm sure, and yeah. Very quickly. So, back to Donnell.
Little break here to talk about Green Chef. Hey, Steve, we talked about this before, but, you know, I'd always wanted to find one of those food delivery services where you get the ingredients you need, then you make it yourself, but I wasn't confident in any of these, but then we found Green Chef.
I know, it's great because, listen, I felt the same way because not knowing is always the scary part, right?
Right?
You don't know what's coming, you don't know how to do it, you know, I know it's simple, but I wouldn't even think about it if it wasn't for Green Chef.
Absolutely.
You know, and the fact that they are USDA certified organic is huge for me and my family.
Right. Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, they send you the wide variety of organic ingredients and new recipes, and it's just the food is awesome. We loved it. My wife made every one. It was amazing.
When that box comes, it's so exciting.
Oh, it's exciting.
You
dude.
Open up
We're
the
like,
box.
What is it?
You have these
what is it?
You have these pre-planned meals. A lot of them are pre-measured. They do most of the prep work for you. You have these restaurant quality meals. That's so exciting. Yeah. They take about 20-30 minutes to make. And it's fun. It can be something you do by yourself. It can be a fun date night. You have a family pack that you can make it for the whole family. And
here's the great part too, is it just saves a little time sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Even if you're not going to do it every single week but it just saves time. It's like, you know, going to the store and getting all the ingredients and measuring everything out and all that stuff. I know it takes a lot of time, and I know a lot of moms do that out there.
Right.
Give yourself a break.
Right.
With Green Chef. What recipe you got?
I love the fall recipes. It just kind of gets me ready for Thanksgiving, the fall season. This one is herbed chicken with gravy, stuffing muffins, carrots with pepitas, and cranberries. So it's like a comfort food, chicken breast
that
seasoned in
good,
a
dude.
Rosemary
I want that one.
Basil
Can you send
herb
me that
blend,
one?
Roasted to a juicy finish, drizzled in gravy, paired with roasted carrots, pepitas, and dried cranberries, homemade stuffing muffins made with whole wheat bread and spiced buttermilk. What?
Can you send that to me, please, right now?
Come on. So these recipes are quick and easy with step-by-step instructions, chef tips, and photos to guide you along. The ingredients are pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepped. The meal plans include paleo, vegan, vegetarian, keto, gluten-free, omnivore.
Keto,
thank you, expert man.
not keto. You don't want keto in your
keto
box.
Keto, Kalen? No.
No, you want keto.
Omnivore, carnivore. It's a fantastic way to simplify your week, but also make it special, right?
So yeah, they basically have whatever you want to eat. What kind of deal we got for our
listeners,
for our peeps?
For $50 off your first box of Green Chef, you go to greenchef.us. That's .us. greenchef.us/scandj. That's greenchef.us/scandj.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, Donnell, did you get a call from your agent for an audition? Is that how it went down here?
Yes, sir. So I'd have to rewind back to my journey as a long, circuitous one, but it's been a journey.
Sure.
You know, I've been doing my thing.
doing your thing, man.
Yeah. I auditioned for a character named Ashford. Probably back in 2013.
Mm. Isn't that your character's current last name?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think it was before there was a Jordan. Okay. And so I thought, okay, this could be cool. This could be cool. I've done a few episodes of Days, a few of at that time I hadn't done YNR. And so, but I had a bunch of commercials, a bunch of guest star, co-star spots, and cricket noises once again.
Okay.
And so I thought,
so one audition?
Yeah.
For Mark?
Mark. Yeah, yeah. It was one or two. I can't remember.
Okay.
And then, it went away. I booked a bunch of commercials. Mark saw one of my AT&T commercials where I'm spoofing soaps.
And oh, interesting.
AT&T U-verse. And I remember I had a middle finger up towards soaps.
A figurative one?
Figurative middle finger. Yeah. And maybe literal in my own, own space. And so...
Why?
Because they weren't hiring me. I thought I was soap opera quality. I thought it's a great starting place. And, you know, sometimes we over-evaluate ourselves. And I thought I was ready back then.
Right.
In retrospect, I wasn't.
Right.
And so I was like, but I know soaps typically can be a springboard for a lot of beginning actors. And so I thought, let it be my springboard. Why not? I already have credits. So since I felt like I was being overlooked, I was on Days. I did like 4 episodes in 5 years. So that's a lot of waiting for the phone to ring.
Sure.
And middle fingers were blazing. And so when this audition came up, it was the director was from Saturday Night Live. It was for AT&T U-verse. And we had to do it soap opera style. So I threw the eyebrow up and I kind of went over soapy, cheesy.
Sure, yeah.
And the director loved it. It worked. The commercial was a hit. It ran at nauseam. Mark saw it. If you let Mark Teschner tell it, he was in the shower. He heard my voice. He stuck his head out, saw me.
I told you.
He said he got on the phone. He said, who is this? He called around Hollywood to find out who this was. The casting director said the fabulous Donnell Turner. Mark called me in. I read for Dr. Maddox. So,
Anthony did.
Montgomery. Oh, yeah. I didn't know his last name was Maddox.
Dr. Maddox.
And it was, they didn't tell us who the character was. It was assistant DA. So I came in a suit, my Sunday best, but I wore my earrings and I had the gray showing in my beard. And I gave this DA all kind of swag. I even changed the lines a little bit. Mm-hmm. They were factually incorrect, so I just kind of made it correct. But every success book I've ever read told me that successful people are risk takers.
Sure.
And so I took that risk. I've taken that risk in auditions. I've been on set. I remember taking that risk on the Mindy project, and I was quickly tapped on the shoulder and corrected. Don't improv, say the lines as they're written.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's very intimidating and embarrassing, but, you know, it's not going to stop me. So I took that risk here at General Hospital. Then I get a call back. Then I get a producer session. And then they give us the screen test. And, things went well. I bombed at the screen test. Well, I dropped a line, but nobody said a word. I reset, and we did it again and nailed it. And I didn't hear anything. And so with 3 weeks, which is a long time, your screen test, normally you know that night.
Usually you know right away.
Right, if you're the one.
Especially in prime time.
And I had
Like within an hour.
Oh, well,
if you're testing for prime time, they're like.
Right away, driving away.
Totally.
And I remember screen testing in New York for One Life. And my buddy then, who's now Luke Cage, Mike Coulter, he's my buddy. He was like, you didn't get it. And I remember, it's only 6 o'clock. He goes, what time did you audition? I said, at 12. He goes, you didn't get it. You'd know right away.
Oh, man.
So he kind of hit me to how the industry works. So when I auditioned for this, you know, years later, I was like, okay, I didn't hear anything. I was miserable. I have a video, actually, of my moments right after my screen test. I went to Denny's on Sunset and Gower. And I'm all but bawling, but I filmed myself because my emotions were too much to write. I couldn't write that quickly, so... it'll break your heart if you see this video. I got to tell you, every time I show people, they're like, because I thought I had blown yet another opportunity at stability. And so 3 weeks later, I get a phone call. And, not to be too graphic, but I was indisposed. I was in the bathroom and I'm on the toilet.
Yeah.
And I look at my phone and it's my agent. And I'm like, I kind of got to take this. I was, you know.
Well, they weren't FaceTiming you, though, right?
Thankfully, no. That
would have been very awkward.
Oh, God, what do I do?
Different phone call.
You could just sit there and answer the phone, couldn't you? That's an option.
And so I pick it up.
Dude, I can't tell you how much of my business I take care of on, you know. Well, I mean, it's the only place in my house that I have quiet, so I like to take all my calls in the bathroom.
It is an office. It can be an office.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and if you turn around the other way,
it was
back.
Hey, it was Fonzie's office.
That's right.
So we're gonna follow suit. Yeah.
Oh, try to drop that reference to a 20-year-old.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I tried to. Like, know. Fonzie. I was like, hey, and like, what are you doing with your phone? Sorry. Yeah. Over here. And so, yeah, I got that phone call, and it was like, yo, the network loves you. They like what you're doing. They're creating a character for you right away. I think it's what every actor wants to hear.
Oh, man, yeah.
And I'm like, wait, what, what? And they're going to honor the same contract terms as the one you auditioned for. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then I get a script like 3 weeks later after that phone call. So I thought she was pranking me. So I'm like,
yeah, sure.
And I get a script at my door, and it says Curtis Hayden. And nobody had told me anything, so I don't know. I'm like, am I Hayden? Am I Curtis?
Right.
Like, I don't.
Right.
And then I come in to sign my contract, and Frank says, hey, you know, we like what you did. We like your style. So, you know, tell our story, but use your words. So the changes I make in the script is basically me just form-fitting Curtis for how I would speak, how we would play this, because there was no plan for Curtis. My first day on set, I was a bad guy. Rebecca looked at me, and she goes, look at this guy. He looks like a model. I'm not saying these lines. And we just changed lines my first day right there on the spot. And so it's all been a work in progress, just kind of creating Curtis and like, who is he? The writers didn't know. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy?
Yeah.
Sat down with the writers. They got a feel for who I am. I'm not a malicious, evil dude. And thankfully, they write Curtis with a little bit of heart and integrity.
When did the last name change?
Went
from Hayden to Ashford.
No, Hayden was Rebecca Buttig and
Curtis and Hayden.
Curtis and Hayden. So there were two characters.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said the name of the character back then was Curtis Hayden.
This is interesting.
I'm sorry,
so you just got your
my scene.
Dang it, because I was gonna ask you because back in the day, you know, we would get the full scripts. Right? So like when I first got my job on Days, of course I read the whole script. Right? Even though I had 2 pages.
Right. Sure.
I'm like, oh, I'm reading this whole script, man.
I remember that. Yeah.
That stopped really quick, though.
Okay.
But now, because now to save paper,
right,
they give you just your line. So I was going to ask you, did you read the whole script?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You just answered that question because there was no script.
It was always fun to have, though, because
you might reference and be able to kind of do research
on that. And sometimes, you know, you'd see the call sheet, you'd see on the front page of our script is kind of what's being shot for that day, and you'd see a couple characters talking, like, oh, I wonder what that's about, and you could reference it, and you could, or you could plan lunch, because you're like, okay, my friends are in the scenes that are right before lunch, what are they doing, is there any babies or gunfire or dogs, because if so, then they're not going to be
done by
lunch.
We're not having lunch.
Right. You know, that kind of stuff, where, you know, you could kind of get a better sense of the day, because you knew what was happening. So I do miss that, but I do appreciate the environmental aspect of saving all that paper.
Yes.
But now, so I, you know, they don't messenger scripts to me in Sacramento. So when I get scripts now, they just send them electronically.
Right.
And I have the very first Kindle Fire that was ever made. And so that's what I use on my script. In fact, I think it's up in casting. I left it here. I need to go get it. But I don't like to use my own printer paper to print out my scripts, as Steve makes fun of me for all the time. But I'm like, I don't need to print them out.
I mean,
out
honestly, it's an adjustment to go from paper to a
screen.
Oh,
it is.
Oh, so you rehearse from your.
He's memorizing on the thing, and we're up there, and he pulls out his little, you know, the Jackal Kindle. It's like, I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
It's got a little. It's got a little pink kitty sticker on it that my daughter put on it.
I've had to do it before because sometimes you forget your script here and you got to open up the email and do it. It's so different.
Yeah.
Because you're not. I just need to kind of hold it and be able to mark on it.
Yeah, I got
look
used to it. I could never do it on my phone, but for some reason the Kindle screen was just a little bit bigger and I could do it.
I think Chad still does that, right? Yeah, he got teased the other day for not using paper, only using his phone.
Yeah,
it's the young people.
Yeah, these kids. Well, I will say when this whole electronic script thing came out, I don't know how many years ago, eight years ago, whatever.
Yeah,
I was on a show, and it was the coolest thing in the world to be able to look at your script in your phone. It was like,
well, when you're only doing 3 pages a day, it's a lot easier, right?
Real talk. That's what
Donnell Turner. That's going to be his podcast.
Well, if it's only 3 pages, you can print it out at home, and you don't have to. But when you know,
So I walk down the hall because he's in
ink
the,
is expensive.
He's in the hall with Maurice.
Oh yeah, in the center.
He's in the middle hall.
I think you're in my old which room? Room are you in?
34.
34. Is that the one that I used to be in?
With
is
the writer, it had a writer on the wall. I had to take that mess. It was very negative. It was like a poster on the wall.
Oh, that was maybe Michael Easton's old. No. The writer. Is it across from Maurice's?
No. Okay. I used to be in that one.
And I was next
across
to you.
From Mo.
We used to play a lot of video games.
We did play a lot of video games.
Yeah.
And then Donnell's. But I walk in this dude's room. You talk about this dude decorated to stay for 29 years.
Oh, you moved in.
Listen, I had to get comfortable, man.
Yeah, dude, sure, dude. I get it.
I've never seen. I was like, I thought it was like the Smithsonian. I'm like, what the? He's got pictures.
Is it tributes to Donnell everywhere?
No. Okay. It's just stuff that he's interested in. It was cool because I could see all the stuff and some of the stuff we talked about already, but not here. But he's really into martial arts. So
cool.
Bruce Lee's everywhere in there. And Muhammad Ali and Martin Luther King saw. And then Dr. Dre I saw. Yep. Just for the 2 minutes I'm in there, I'm like, scanning.
That's awesome.
So when martial art-wise did you start taking martial arts?
At 10. Oh, yeah, practicing for almost 30 years, but off and on.
So 10, you would have been in Reading?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. My first instructor was Dan Verdugo.
Wow, in Reading, huh?
Taekwondo.
Awesome.
I think everybody starts in Taekwondo. Even then, I had questions that they couldn't answer, so I found holes in it, so I was disinterested. My instructor left Taekwondo, started his own school. It was Tong Sudo, another Korean style. So I practiced several years of that. Again, loopholes, mainly kicks. Korean styles are a lot of kicks, not practical in everyday street fights, God forbid.
Yeah.
So I had a thirst for more. My questions weren't answered. There had to be something more to this thing that, you know, I'd have questions like, well, what happens if someone tackles you?
Right.
And all they would say is, get up. And well, I'm like, that doesn't sound very
especially if you're artistic. A wrestler tackles you. You ain't getting up.
Which is one of the things I did. I know I'm long and lean, so I took wrestling, and I got to tell you, I loved it. It changed my life. I think wrestling is probably the most dominant of martial arts, and it's one of the oldest sports, and people don't take it seriously as a martial art. Because it's not fancy.
And the discipline that it takes, not just with martial arts, but wrestling, they take it to a whole nother level. I grew up in Ohio.
Yes.
And
every
family was wrestlers.
Yes.
And I was the only guy who played basketball. So I made the team.
By default.
But it was like these kids, man, they were so disciplined in what they did. It was crazy.
It requires a lot of discipline. It's a sport where you go forward only. So there's no retreat in wrestling. So that is not only the physical practice, but it's also a mindset. Go forward, man. And so when I learned wrestling, it filled in a lot of gaps for me, for my stand-up game, martial arts-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just got curious. I love Bruce Lee. So I started learning little bits of, you know, Wing Chun and taking little, you know, there's a key to every lock is what you learn.
Yeah.
And so I make sure that my cup stays partially full so I can receive more.
Yeah.
And
I drink a lot too.
Yeah, well, that
he has a bottomless cup. It's amazing. I don't know where he got it. Spencer Gift?
Is this back to that bourbon thing?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, as you get older, high kicks and things like that. I trained in Thailand.
Become non-existent?
Yeah. I actually got in a street fight once wearing motorcycle boots, tried to kick, slipped and fell. I was on my butt, and it got weird. Thankfully, I knew other things. But no high kicks in motorcycle boots or dress shoes.
Okay, I'll remember that.
Word to the wise.
Thank you.
then I had an opportunity to work in Thailand and Hong Kong, and while I was in Thailand, I got to train.
Oh, no.
Because I was doing Muay Thai.
More Thai?
Oh, yes. I was already practicing
gosh.
Here. But there was always a question like, okay, I'm learning American Muay Thai.
Dude.
How would I hold up in Thailand? I got to Thailand. Number one, I was like a foot taller than everyone. So my nickname was the Tall American. And because of my Thai background, flexibility, I'm kicking over their heads in Thai. There's not really high kicks. It's, you know,
leg kicks
maybe
and
here,
knees
low leg
and
kicks.
Shins.
Exactly. And so that was interesting.
Dude, that's amazing.
I still got a lot of power in my kicks, which, you know, I pride myself on. Love the kicks. And then so Thailand was a wonderful experience to work there.
How long were you there?
10 days. I shot a Pons commercial that runs in Africa. Amazing culture. I mean, wow. You know,
like,
and then I'd
just
stay,
alive. Just
stayed,
energy.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's very warm. Even when it rains, it's very hot. But I stayed at the Four Seasons in the Presidential Suite. So everyone was calling me Will Smith.
That's amazing.
Sawadi ka is what the women say. The men say Sawadi krap. And that's their like aloha, hello and goodbye. Sawadi krap. And then the women would stare and I'd look and they'd look away and giggle and they'd say, you like Will Smith. You like Will Smith. And I'm like,
that's amazing.
I know that's a compliment. I'm not going to get insulted. Okay. Right on. My name is Donnell, but thank you. It's wonderful.
No one mistook you for him. They just were saying...
They say you like Will Smith, okay, so they knew I wasn't.
Sure,
But it was wonderful, man. It's beautiful. It's heartbreaking because it is third world.
Sure,
you see chickens in the front yards, and they're not like chickens we see.
Sure,
malnourished, skinny chickens.
Underfed.
Skinny chickens.
But Thailand was wonderful, and so that just to wind this up a little bit. From Thailand and Muay Thai, I was in a cage for about 2 years. I trained with a lot of the people we know in the UFC and some big names that I've rolled with.
You started doing some jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, a little bit. We call it jiu-jitsu in reverse.
Yeah.
I know just enough to stay out of trouble.
Sure.
I wouldn't call myself a master.
Well,
it's the third part of the game I'm not good at.
It takes a long time.
Yeah, it's a practice, but it's one of those things you can do well into old age.
Sure.
So you can practice that. So that might be my next discipline because kicks and punches and stuff, you know. And then I took a knife combat course 2 years ago, and I did that for 3 months, and that is just mind-blowing.
Oh, my gosh. Because... How do you even start with that? Hey, try to stab me.
It's weird.
I mean, how do you even begin?
Well, you know, if you have to defend yourself and there happens to be a knife around.
If you had done fencing at AMDA, maybe you would have been a little bit prepared.
Yeah, totally.
So, fair enough.
So wait a minute. So is it knife on knife or is it kind of
like... Hey, there's a knife.
Well, that's Bradford. Hey, there's a knife, and you see running. But it's like Krav Maga, where it's
absolutely.
Just,
it's
groin kick and run.
You know, that's not as.
Could someone call 911? That's Bradford.
It's there's Kali stick fighting, which is
I've seen that. Sure,
the principles, the movements are the same. I thought it was interesting, just another form of martial arts. I'm a gun owner. I graduated first in my class. I'm a responsible gun owner. And so I just like all areas of self-defense and so practicing with my gun often, I thought, okay, let's try something else. You know, I grew up with my nunchucks. You saw my nunchucks.
I love those things. I had those things too.
What do they say? It's like 10,000 hours to become a master or something like that. I've got 10,000 hours of useless, you know, practice in my room.
Walks in and gives you some lip.
If it's not the gun or the knife, I got the nunchucks.
Yeah,
wow. If not that, I could probably wrestle them.
So I made my own set of nunchucks when I was a kid.
Me too.
Right?
With paper towel holders?
No, with a broomstick.
Yes, sir.
I cut it and I used shoelaces. Right? Shoelaces, and then I taped it. And
how
I'm
long
like,
did that last?
Hold on. My mom's sitting on the couch.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, Mom, check this out. And I'm like, with the broomsticks.
Oh, no.
Wham! I mean, literally, like, you could hear it go past her head and just literally stuck in our apartment wall.
Oh, man.
And I was like, okay, that's my nunchuck career's over right now.
Broomstick.
I drilled a hole in it and freaking put shoelaces in there like an idiot.
And what, just tons of electrical tape?
That's what I did. Silver electrical tape. And it freaking came loose because I was, you know, trying to go super fast.
You almost put your mom's eye out.
I know. But I love martial arts, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful for life. Good.
It
for
totally
discipline.
Is. It's great for discipline, respect.
Absolutely. Respect.
You know, they teach you not to have a lot of ego and pride, and it's just a great teaching ground for boys and girls.
Oh,
yeah.
No
Since
doubt.
You're, you know, you have two girls, Brad, and I'm telling you, man, I'm putting my Brooklyn, my 4-year-old, in martial arts.
Yeah, our
my
younger
daughter
one
would
especially
have,
is
my daughter
is
would have an interest in it. My 15-year-old, because she can kick hard anyway, and I'm trying to get what I want to do is just go get some private lessons, kickboxing,
mm-hmm.
and take the kids with me
mm-hmm.
so we can just, you know.
If I might make one recommendation.
I would love to hear it.
Because at one point I was teaching self-defense. Man, Krav Maga is nasty.
Yeah.
Get your daughters in Krav Maga.
Yeah.
Because it's not like Taekwondo. It's not fancy. It's like.
It's real life stuff.
Yeah, it's stuff that'll save you right
it's
now.
It's like Roadhouse. You just pulled your own throat out.
I love
You're
Roadhouse.
You're Patrick Swayze.
I'm honored. I'll be Sam Elliott.
I love freaking Roadhouse. Oh,
Roadhouse is, I can't believe
Steve
you
just, Steve's body just became fully erect.
I love
and
Roadhouse.
And his eyes bugged out. And he just.
That's our generation, dude.
Yes, perked up in a way I've never seen. That was crazy.
Because I love those movies,
I love Roadhouse. Pain don't hurt.
I love.
That's like one of the best lines ever.
It was the best, dude.
Yeah.
All those movies. I would watch all those B movies, those action movies, all day long. Because my dad, you know, got free cable illegally. And so every summer I'd come out and I would watch all those action movies. Then I'd go to the video store and buy and just every bad B martial art movie I would just watch.
Love those.
It was the best.
Even like the C movies, the Kung Fu Theater they're just the guy's like foo foo and the next thing you know he's up in a tree. You know, those were great, or the boom and the smoke, and then he's over there on a building.
Dude, that's when I was watching Bruce Lee movies, you know, in the Kung Fu Theater, I was eating Chinese food every day. I'm like, I'm going to get lean, like Bruce Lee. Guess what happened?
You just puffed out with all the sodium?
I didn't get lean at all, like Bruce Lee. I was freaking eating, like, you know. Orange chicken and rice every
day. Oh, dude, it's the best.
It is the best, but it didn't help the abs.
You thought because there was rice in it, you were going to
be like
Bruce.
I had no idea about nutrition. I was just like, man, I'm going to be like Bruce Lee, dude. I'm going.
Yeah.
But I love martial arts.
I read his book, and trying to be like Bruce, very disciplined. I mean,
that dude's
my
a beast.
My goal was to do straddle splits. It's still
like Jean-Claude?
Yeah. Well, you know,
how close
chairs.
Yeah.
Well, today, probably not very far, but it's what Bruce Lee told me. Okay, it tells us, okay, informs us that it takes about 5 years to achieve true flexibility.
Wow.
And like muscle, flexibility has memory too.
Ah.
So at one point I was really, really flexible from my earlier adolescent years in martial arts. So I'm still more flexible than most. I can do the splits this way, the long way, the runner splits.
Oh,
whatever,
yeah.
But the straddle splits.
Not the Jean-Claude splits. Yeah,
not
he's the best.
That.
I love it.
That and the
And he still can do it.
Well, yeah. Although he has
Did
very
you like Jean-Claude movies?
I loved them. Are you kidding me? There's amazing. That one from Thailand at the same hotel I was at. And I was like, I know this one. I think it was Kickbox.
He did Kickboxer there.
The one with Dennis, what's his name? Also with the Jerry Curl. Dennis Alexio, I think it was.
Yeah.
Was it Lionheart or Kickboxer? I think it was Kickboxer.
Bloodsport.
Bloodsport. Might have been the best.
Bloodsport. Yes, it's the best.
Do you guys?
Well, I'm going to kick you today, Brad. Yeah, as soon as I'm done with this.
I can't wait.
Yes, Hollywood is a blood sport.
Are there any B movies that you guys have been in?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about a couple B movies. B, C, D movies.
Have you been in some?
I have. There's several. I think I produced one that I will not mention.
Okay.
Actually, tomorrow I'm receiving an award for one. It's called Love Interrupted. I'm a plug right now.
Do it, buddy.
LA Live tomorrow night, 7:30. Check out Love Interrupted. Best supporting actor in that one.
Awesome, man.
Nice.
But I've been a part of some bad flicks.
Well, I wouldn't say that's a B movie, dude. I'd say that's an independent film.
Independent. It is an A movie in the independent world.
Right. That's what I would say. Because I did a strictly straight. They knew that this was going to be a B minus C movie.
Yeah.
And that's why they made it.
I love those.
Because they knew there was a need for them.
Was it like sci-fi, like a giant moth takes Manhattan?
No.
I love those.
But it was a total RoboCop ripoff.
Oh, nice.
It was called Cyber Tracker with a friend of mine's Don Wilson.
Don the Dragon?
Don the Dragon Wilson. So I pretty much grew up. You know, my dad managed apartment buildings, and Don lived in one of the buildings when he came from Florida to become an actor. So I knew Don since I was 9. So then I got on GH, and he's like, hey, man, I'm doing this movie. He's done like 60 of them, and this was number 20, whatever. And he's like, hey, can you come do this Cyber Tracker thing movie? And I go, what is it? He's like, hey, I'll send you the script. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome, man. Freaking, you know, RoboCop chasing us, and we're shooting stuff and stunts and blowing it up. So we did Cyber Tracker 1, and it was so successful, we did Cyber Tracker 2.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
It was fun, man. Yeah. Dude, honestly, I would do B-movies all day long right now.
Well, I mean, look at the success of Sharknado, right?
That's crazy.
I'm trying to get on the next one. Sharknado is like...
What number are they on now?
I think 7 or 6.
Yeah, Ian Ziering has had like a whole second career doing just those.
But even the cameo spots, like people are lining up just to get a cameo spot on these. So this is fantastic.
Dude, I want to do just a low-budget action martial art movie.
Oh, let's do it.
You know what I mean? Because you could shoot that pretty cheap.
And we should make it cheesy, nice.
Yeah.
Cheesy.
Not a lot of dialogue.
No. No.
Because I'm not good at dialogue.
No.
I'm like, better when I don't talk, and I tell that to them here all the time. I made a career out of staring at people. Can you just help a brother out so I can go back to that? Because I'm talking more than Carly.
Mm.
It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
So now, speaking of people we talk to on the show, you have a partnership now with one Sam McCall. And that same Sam McCall used to have a partnership with one Jackal. And it used to be McCall and Jackal. And now it's
Ashford and McCall.
How'd you get your name first?
He's got top billing.
Yeah, I fought
because she took the $28 million.
Well, so that's right. How you're number one on the PI sheet.
And now we can't be on set at the same time.
I know. You guys green screen your scenes.
That's right. Yeah, that's funny. That's like we have the money and the technology for that.
Well, actually, we do.
We do.
Because we put a green screen in our room here. We do green screen.
Yeah, oh, it's awesome. It's so fun.
We're going to be in
we can do
Paris.
A whole. We, can
we
do,
will be in Europe.
We can do yeah, a whole like sci-fi B-movie in your room.
Oh, dude, we should.
We should.
Oh, my goodness.
We should.
We should. We should.
Break out this robo-cyber uniform.
Yes.
I love it.
Great.
I love it.
Yes, working with Sam is great. Ashford McCall, I did fight for top billing. And
was there a scene about it?
There was a scene.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, well, let's do alphabetical.
Sure.
Like,
oh,
and
just
then
makes
I
sense.
I actually improvised and named some names, but then they told me, oh, they had to get permission.
Oh, okay.
So
sure,
I was like BBD. And, you know, I named some other ones.
Yeah.
They're right. Like, okay, you can't say
oh,
that.
Other ones that have yeah.
alphabetically
order.
Alphabetically
oh, I see.
Order.
Just,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
And I improv like three other names. They were like, gotta get permission.
Yeah.
But, you know, that said, we never referenced the name at all. So it's
ABC, BBD, what was the TLC. Motown Philly? ABC.
Boys to Men. ABC. BBD.
Yeah. The East Coast Family. Never skip the beat.
No.
That's
yeah.
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 But it's useless information, I think. It's never been referenced again. So
okay,
it's
yeah.
kind of just for my own satisfaction, I think.
Sure. So, but are you guys working on how often you guys got a case going?
Man. It's
well, they got a case going now we can't discuss.
Okay.
Talk about it.
To the Jackal or Bradford.
Brent.
Okay.
I didn't want to say this to you, so I'm glad he's saying it.
Oh. So there's a case right now that we can't talk about.
Oh, my God. I'm dying.
I will say, we reference you fondly.
Thank you.
Dude.
I do get called and talked about quite a lot.
That's so funny that he brought that up because that's part of our stand-up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because everyone calls him. I'm always on the phone with him. I'm like, Spinelli, can you just get this done and get it over right away? And then Sonny comes in. Have you heard from Spinelli?
Yeah.
You
know, it's like, if only that equaled a day of work, right? Like,
that's what he keeps saying.
Yeah.
That's what he keeps saying.
Yeah.
So 3 years on the show, what's been kind of your favorite story? Has there been one? Is there – because people get mad at me. I don't watch the show. So has there been something you were able to take a little bit of an emotional ride on or –
There was a scene. You know, Curtis doesn't get to play many layers other than the comedy or charm I might try to infuse. But I would love to be tied to a bed in a burning cabin. I think that would be exciting.
I bet you could grow a kick-ass beard, too, man.
I would. Yeah. I would. I'd leave the gray in it and all that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But so there was one moment where Aunt Stella had a stroke, and it was like, ooh, I get to cry, like, you know, for the novice, that's like the show of who can act, right? If you can cry on cue, for the novice. And so I have not, to the untrained eye, and so I have not had that opportunity. So my Aunt Stella had a stroke in the middle of the floating rib. Curtis got to lose it on Stella. So I really brought it on the day, right? I had the waterworks going. I even had the Viola Davis coming from the nose. You know,
well, that's how you win Emmys.
Bodily fluids win you awards.
If
I'm learning
100%,
other than sweat. And so, what happened was we had five cameras. One was in my face, getting all that goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I told my mom, "Mom, your son brought it. You're gonna see some. I finally got something to dig into." And on the day when it aired, I remember I got a call. Mom said, "Son, where are your tears?" I'm like, "Wait, huh?" When I saw the episode, only the back of my head.
Oh, no.
Oh,
only.
Mama.
And I'm like, wait. We had a camera on the floor in my eyes.
What happened?
Back of my head. No tears at all. So, Yeah, the waterworks were on the editing room floor. And, you know, that's Hollywood. You
that's
do this
how,
game
yeah,
long
happens,
enough,
yeah, sure.
We've all seen our work get chopped up. And yeah. So other than that, I love where we are. Curtis in the process of getting married. I'm not sure. I'm
Oh, that's right. You recently endured a recast. When I say endured, it sounds like a bad
yes.
thing. But you just, you're – so that's an interesting experience, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I was pleased to be a part of the recast.
Yeah.
So I got to be a part of the decision-making process and the screen test as well. And it was interesting being on this side.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Ooh. I know.
Yeah, right?
And, talk about learning.
Yeah.
Open
yeah,
your
you
eyes
really
to...
see the good, the bad, and the – you know, you did your thing. And,
yeah, but you know what's interesting though is like, what I think a lot of actors it takes a while for them to learn, and now that you sat maybe on the other side, is people want you to succeed,
mm-hmm.
right? They want that person to walk through and be like,
right.
okay, this is it. We don't have to see 25,000 more people.
Right.
This is our guy, right. you know, which is interesting because as an actor, you go in,
doesn't
you're like,
always feel that way.
Are they gonna like me? Do they? Are they busy? Are they checking their phone? What is it? You know, but
right.
they do want you to be the person. You know,
that's,
which is interesting.
It's always interesting when I do audition and the casting director's rude because it's like that can really change your experience in that. This is my space. I've been invited. Let me create. Please leave any kind of attitude and bad energy out. So
right.
a welcoming casting director, Mark is great for that, by the way.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Provides
oh, yeah.
a
that's
safe
good.
Environment to where
yeah.
you can just explore and create. And so I wanted to do that, you know, with the young ladies. Screen testing.
Yeah.
When I went to each of their rooms and kind of worked with them, and I just reassured them, you're already great. So just relax.
Yeah.
Let's have fun. Let's
yeah.
do something special here.
Right. Yeah.
And Brianna Henry, the new Jordan Ashford. I can't say enough about her. She's
yeah.
wonderful.
She's great.
A delightful young lady, a wonderful human being, a talented actress. I mean, she killed in the screen test.
Nice.
I recorded. I had someone record all the screen tests, so I watch them over.
Yeah.
And, you know, head and shoulders above the
yeah,
rest,
she's
in my
great.
Opinion. She's beautiful, friendly.
You know, it's interesting. You see new people come in.
Yeah.
And she asks questions. She talks to people. She wants to know. She wants to learn. She wants to be good. And you can just tell
yeah.
by watching her. I just watch her in the building and I see her ask people, you know, questions about whatever it is, acting. How do you memorize? What do you do? What's your process? And this. And she's just, you know, gathering information
Absolutely.
to be really good. And she is. And I'm excited to watch her.
A shout out to Brianna Henry. She's fantastic and helping this Ashford family sort of become.
It's exciting,
the first,
man.
Yeah, yeah. The it's first black cornerstone family in Port Charles. And so they've had black families, but not
yeah.
a cornerstone
yeah, they had a
family.
Justice Ward.
The Wards.
The Wards, yeah.
Uh-huh.
yeah.
But they kind of weren't.
Yeah,
as,
they didn't really. I mean, they kind right. of. Well, I mean.
They were so, a family, but
yeah.
I guess the term was cornerstone that I was told, like.
Sure.
That they're going
to yeah.
actually build. And now we have Aunt Stella. We're building.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So, you know, I'm pleased to.
That's awesome.
To be a part
yeah.
of that. Yeah,
that's
love
cool, man.
What they're doing. And I'll be your muse, you know,
cool.
GH and ABC. Let's do this.
Yeah. All right.
That's awesome, man. Well,
well
dude, we can't
awesome,
thank
dude.
You enough for
oh,
just
gosh.
Coming in, dude.
Pleasure.
It's been so awesome.
Pleasure was mine. Yeah.
Now I feel like I really know you.
I know.
Which is even,
more, right?
which is even
best,
better.
The most fun
thank
part
you.
For us is.
And
is,
I want your character to dress like this.
I'm trying to get him to see a little bit more of me.
Just
well,
little
see,
bit
your family's up in Washington now,
yes.
and you get the Canadian tuxedo on.
I got love for Canada.
Well, here's the thing.
Or the country tuxedo.
I've always wanted a leather a jean jacket, and
yeah.
I finally got one.
Okay.
From Target. I didn't want to invest
oh,
too hard.
Come on, man.
But the Goodfellas brand at Target's actually really good. That's where I get my black t-shirts for the road. Anyway, so I got one, and I'm really high on it, but I'm a little insecure about wearing it with jeans.
Don't. Okay.
Okay, so you are owning it, and I love the look.
Thank you.
So tell me what I need to do. I noticed that your top jean layer is lighter than your lower jean layer. Is that something that does the jacket have to be lighter, or just difference?
Okay, if you try to match it, it's too matchy-matchy,
well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
you're going to go wrong.
Okay.
All you're going to hear all day is Canadian tuxedo, Canadian
okay,
tuxedo.
Okay, fair enough.
So don't be afraid to rock black shirt, black jeans. And then the light blue.
Yeah,
okay.
I like that.
Okay. But
like
never
that.
Matchy-matchy now.
I don't have any.
What about,
like
what about black jeans with a black jean jacket?
Yes.
You're okay with
yes.
that?
Yes. Give it a pop of color, though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So get the shirt, T-shirt. Yeah.
Dude, I'm black.
You're going to look like a ninja, man. That's all
always bet I'm black. That's what I say. You can never go wrong. Everywhere I go, that's all I wear.
Really?
People at, oh, yeah. My wife is so.
In real life. Like, you don't.
In real life.
Do color.
So,
really?
Not really. No. I'll do it occasionally, but it's like. I order so many black T-shirts, she gets so frustrated.
Yeah.
She's like, are you serious? You ordered 10 more black T-shirts? That's you don't awesome. Have 70 yeah. in the closet right now? I said, I can't have enough
you
black T-shirts.
You know what you like.
I can't.
You know?
Yeah.
My mom, real quick. My mom used to do color analysis. She used to work for Beauty Control, and she had three sons. And so we were her muse. And we were doing skincare stuff, and I got my colors done early on in life. Yeah. So I was the rare teenager
that was color coordinated.
What colors work best on my skin tone?
Yeah.
So I wear stark colors. I think I'm a summer or something like that, but it's by season.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So there are colors you wear.
Now, can you assess other people?
Absolutely.
He was about to assess me until you interrupted him.
Well, I mean, I would need like a color swatch or different color shirts. And there's one, brother, that's going to make you, that skin, and the blue eyes pop.
What
I'm
is it?
I'm just saying. I'm not exactly sure. I'd need a color swatch or I would say you probably.
I don't know.
We would need a color swatch. But look at those
don't
eyes.
Don't say salmon, bro.
I was going to say coral, but I could,
Okay.
It's a fancier salmon.
It's okay. I'm a Miami Vice fan.
There it is.
I'll go powder blue or coral.
Right.
I'll do either one. See, I was born in the right era.
Yeah.
And look at his face is turning red. That just adds a whole different look.
Don't you want a little contrast though? You don't want
face used to be red.
You don't want
now
his shirt to match his
because
red
Donnell embarrassed me somehow. I don't know. We had a moment. We locked eyes for a little longer than two men probably should.
Why do you think I brought out the camera? I wanted to capture it.
You did capture
there
it.
There was something there that was missed.
You bastard.
What color what do you think for me?
Green.
I don't want to look pale and sallow at all times.
I would have to see, bro, because I can't wear gray. I have to find a specific shade of gray, or I
interesting.
Look or
brown. Interesting, dude.
I wear certain browns. I look like I'm naked because it blends into who I am.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying. So you might wear
so then you
bright
don't
yellow.
And no one wants to see me naked.
And you don't want to wear
for real, or so
excellent
thinking.
Pronunciation.
Oh no, he's naked. Oh,
no, he's not. He just has a white T-shirt on. We can tell his skin's a little more yellow than
Here's the
T-shirt.
The thing. I feel I could be wrong. I feel like in the 3 years that we've been in the same space, I've seen you wear a turtleneck. Is that possible?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
I almost wore one today.
Okay. Growing up in New Hampshire, turtlenecks, and also in the 80s and early 90s, like turtlenecks were legit.
Yes, they were.
And they were so versatile. You could wear them under a sweater.
Yes.
You could wear – they were and
amazing.
Like, or they could be the sweater, like a turtleneck sweater or a mock turtleneck sweater.
Yeah.
Any tips, Todd, how to bring that back?
You know what?
Well, he can rock
I'm
it.
Trying,
dude.
Man.
Dude,
yeah. It's
but
just
you
a little
can
too
get
warm.
You can get away with it. If I showed up in a turtleneck.
Yeah, I love that.
It's turtleneckish.
That's
I
mocky.
Love that look.
That's mock turtleneck.
Yeah, I love that look.
True story,
yeah.
I went into Macy's. I'm sorry, I went into a department store a couple months ago.
You could say Macy's.
Okay, right.
Want to sponsor us, Macy's?
Macy's. Love y'all. And I said to the 20-year-old retail person there, I said, do you guys have turtlenecks? She had no idea what I was talking about.
What?
No idea.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
So they're back now.
Right.
I bought two of them, and it's just a little too warm here in L.A., but like I said.
Are you going to layer them or are you going to feature them?
Layers, player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
I went
this jacket with a turtleneck?
I went to Marshall's. Ooh. I went to Marshall's and I said, where are your jean overalls?
And, remember those?
And they said, what? I said, well, jean overalls. You know, the one you put the strap down?
One strap down.
That's right.
Do you remember the Skids? Do you remember the company Skids? And they would have plaid overalls, kind of like the ABC, like on the Another Bad Creation.
Uh-huh.
I feel like they were wearing it was among that era. Like Skids was a brand.
No, don't
and,
remember.
And they
that.
Were like fabric overalls.
No, man.
And you could wear.
Do you remember Chess King?
I remember Chess King.
Do you remember Chess King?
My brother, yeah.
Oh,
I
dude.
I remember Chess King.
Oh, my
Cross
goodness.
Cross color.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. The, you know, there was a fun era in wardrobe in the 90s, right? I mean, the
and
80s.
The late, yeah, late 80s.
80s,
and
that
yeah.
neon and the wedge cuts and all
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
And then when the 90s came.
I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
I'm in
yeah.
heaven.
Oh, the wedge.
Oh, dude. The 80s, the 90s? Come on, man.
Come on, man.
I think for black people, 80s hair It was tragic. We came into our own in the 90s when flat tops really became a thing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I didn't get the kid and play, you know, ridiculous. I had a nice
so that
flat top.
Kid and play was like early, early 90s?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's amazing.
That was tragic. Far as I'm concerned, hair fashion wise,
that's awesome, dude.
But I'm gonna try and grow it back. I think Curtis might rock.
Are you? You should, dude.
A flat top. I wish my hair would.
What do you mean?
Yeah,
you have hair.
I do. It, you know, we'll have to see.
Yeah,
it would be interesting to see what a flat top would look like.
Yeah, ask him. He's basically had a flat top for years.
Well,
but you got
my
that
wife
thick hair, bro.
My wife's like, so are you gonna end up being Howie Long? I'm like, what do you mean, honey?
Yeah.
She goes, you look like Howie Long. You're going to be Howie Long, right? You're going to be 80 with that same hair.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
You say,
well, I said, yeah. She doesn't like short hair, though.
Oh.
She likes
oh
long hair. I had long hair.
Flowing.
I had a long hair for a little while. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Would
was
you wear that if you could, right now?
If I was not on camera, yes.
Yeah.
I would. But the problem was I had left the show and I grew my hair long and then I came back. And when you're outside the Hollywood, you don't need to worry about your hair.
Right.
Right. As soon as you get here, it's all about the hair. And literally they were like doing stuff to my hair. I'm like, this is killing me. And then I get on stage and literally this happened. I remember I was in where you did your scene today at Kelly's outside.
Mm-hmm.
I did this scene outside that was somewhat emotional.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that was great. Felt good. They're like, we have to do it again.
Oh.
I go, why? Well, you had the long hair in your face. I go, are
cut
you freaking
off
kidding
cut
me?
Cut it off.
So I did the scene again. I went downstairs and I cut it to this.
That moment.
That moment.
Wow.
Because I was like, I'm not going to be inhibited as an actor to worry about my hair
right
because I don't – it's just not – I don't want to have to think about it, you know. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, man, that's
now that we've talked about
problem
the important things.
Dude, we got to the important things.
Finally. My gosh.
We got the clothes, we got the hair, we got the swatches. He's going to bring some swatches. Remember swatch watches?
I
but
do remember.
You're going to bring
the swatch guard.
That swatch guard. The little swatch guard.
Awesome.
I know. It's amazing. We're going to have a nostalgia show. We're bringing you back.
Let's
for
do
that
it, man.
We should do that, dude.
I love that stuff.
I'd love it too, man. Well, thank you so much for coming, brother.
Pleasure,
we appreciate
gentlemen
it. Thank
pleasure
you so much. Anything you want to like talk, just like
promote or talk?
Yeah,
you get your movie coming up, Nick.
Sure.
Yeah, just Twitter, Instagram, whatever
absolutely
whatever you want.
Listen, I'm at Donnell Turner 1 on Twitter. Donnell, 2 N's, 2 L's. Turner on Instagram. And you can come check out a film. I'm winning Best Supporting Actor, if I might say.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's humble, humble, humblest of brags. It wasn't me. It's a great film. It's called Love Interrupted. It'll be at LA Live. But thank you all for this platform. Thank you all for having me. This
awesome
means a lot.
Yeah, man. Appreciate
and I appreciate
it
what you guys
yeah
do.
Thanks,
you guys
man
are awesome.
Thanks,
man.
Thank
yeah
you, man.
No,
appreciate right it.
Hey, so that was great. You know what? You know what it reminded me of? Like people that had childhood aspirations to be on General Hospital that it came true for.
That's
like,
amazing.
Lisa Lo Cicero had that same thing too, right? Didn't she like, I don't know if she wrote letters to Mark like he did, but
that's crazy, man.
I know,
can you imagine?
I know. It's amazing because there's so many people that we talk to in the world that are like, how do I get on GH? I've always wanted to be on GH. And
I know.
It must be comforting to know that there are a couple people on GH that had that same dream and, you know, so don't give up on your dreams is the general thing.
Yeah, don't ever give up for sure because, you know, life throws some curveballs at you, but you just got to keep going forward and never give up on your dreams. And it's funny because it reminded me of you remember when I emailed everybody at that podcast place to please listen to our podcast? I mean, dude, I emailed everyone from the CEO. I must have sent 30 emails like, hey, me and my friend Bradford Anderson.
That's
crickets
amazing.
Hey, me and my friend. I was like, I was emailing the custodian by the time I was done. I'm like, please, can somebody just let us in the building, please?
Yeah.
So funny.
That is funny. And look where we are now.
And look where we are now. I'm in my dressing room and you're in your bedroom. We made it.
So this week, I think I captured this off of Facebook, and I specifically did this for you, Steve.
Oh, you did?
It's a picture,
okay,
and I'm going to show it to you. And then I'm going to read you. I don't know this lady's name, and this so it's her post. She shared a picture of me with her on her Facebook, and it's the comment below that is my favorite, and I think you'll appreciate it. So forgive
I can't wait.
Forgive me. I do not know this woman's name, and she doesn't have the mean comment. So if you recognize this woman, she's not mean. She's lovely, and the comment's not mean either. It's just funny. All right. So here's the picture. Here's the picture.
Smooth move, Jackal.
All right. See, that's what I look like. And there's that lovely lady with me. The comment below reads,
"Yes,
you've been hanging out with all kinds of famous people lately, eh? Must have been a great honor to meet with the great Harry Potter."
So I told you I'm not the only one. Dude, pick that picture back up right now. Let me see that thing again. Dude, that is freaking Harry Potter, bro.
What? I'm even wearing my t-shirt that has the tie on it, so it looks like I got my...
Oh, my gosh. You are the freaking wizard, whatever you are,
looks
bro.
Looks like
you
I got part of my Hogwarts uniform on.
Dude, was that like 30 years ago?
I don't know, bro. I haven't worn that t-shirt in years, though, man. That is amazing. Man. That's how I used to dress up.
What's the other one? The Hogwart or the what?
What's that?
What's the two teams that, like, because my daughter was into Harry
Potter. Well, within Hogwarts, there's four schools. Houses. Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff, Gryffindor, and Slytherin. Come on, dude. You knew that.
No, I did not
know
that.
Yes, you did.
And I'm not going to spend any more time on this podcast talking about that.
My
daughter would. She'd come on. She's the Harry Potter expert. Good gosh.
We should have our daughters come on and tell us about what's going on in their world, so that maybe they'll actually tell us what's going on in the world of children, so we learn more about stuff.
Well, yeah, but now my daughter has kind of not even a boyfriend, but she's FaceTiming this dude. No. It was funny because she was on the phone last night, and I just barged right into the room, and I'm like. Because, you know, she always keeps her door closed. She's a teenager, dude.
So you barged in knowing that you were barging into a private moment on the phone?
There are no private moments, sir,
for children
when you're under 18 in the house.
I get it.
Okay. So let's just set that. Let's set that straight now.
Okay.
So, yeah. Cherie said, oh, yeah, she's FaceTiming him. I go, what? No, this can't, it just can't be too comfortable. Like,
I get it.
With the kids with the phone, it's like everything's just like, you know, normal. It's like, oh, I'm going to text everyone. I'm going to FaceTime everyone. They do these group FaceTimes now.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They see each other all day and then they go home and FaceTime all night?
It's ridiculous. And then here's the scam part, right? So they'll get on, like three or four girls will get on and three or four guys will get on. And then the last two who kind of want to stay on and talk... Everybody else gets off, and those two stay on.
Oh my
And now
gosh.
They're FaceTime each other.
Is that like the new that new thing of like everyone hoarding together the two people that they think like each other, and then like making them talk to each other in the corner kind of thing?
Yeah, totally. That's like old school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird, dude. It's such a weird thing. So anyway, she's FaceTiming, and I'm like, I walk in and I'm like, hey, when you're done, come talk to me.
Oh gosh.
And she was like,
"Did you like puff all up in front of the camera for the guy's sake?"
No, I didn't, dude. No, I didn't puff up. Hey, first of all, listen. I'm not that. What are you doing, dude?
Hey, what are you doing? Hey.
No, that's not it, bro.
No, you didn't do that.
No, I didn't do that. And you know what? The truth is, I want her to have fun. I want her to enjoy life.
Sure.
I just want her to be smart and know what's going on out there. But
absolutely,
things just can't be too easy. Like you can't. Just pick up the phone and FaceTime somebody for a half an hour.
Totally. I get you.
You know what I mean? It's just got to be, you know, there's got to be, first of all, you got to ask me.
Right.
To FaceTime this cat.
Right.
That's number one. And then there's a time limit.
Yes. Yes, there has to be.
Don't you agree?
Yeah. I do. Especially with FaceTime. Like.
Yeah. It's just weird, man. The whole thing's weird. It's fine, but it's weird.
I get you.
It's the reality. It's the reality of the situation. But, you know, she was cool.
Yeah, man.
Rolls with it, man. I'm like, look, I want you to have fun. This guy seems like a nice kid. You know, just we just got to have, you know, some some boundaries. That's all.
Absolutely.
Right now.
I get it.
So,
well, thanks for imparting some parental knowledge on me. My 4-year-old says she has a boyfriend, but I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that yet.
Yeah, they're not FaceTiming.
They're no, but yeah. They know how to.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
That's what Brooklyn does.
Oh, she FaceTimes. She FaceTimes boys?
She takes Jack's iPad and goes upstairs and FaceTimes us. Dude, and just completely relentless.
Oh, man.
Like, okay, honey, we're doing something. We hang up. Bring. FaceTime. I'm like, oh, Brooklyn. Dad, I got to ask you a question.
What does she want to talk about? I love that.
Whatever. Just showing me the room, showing me, hey, here's my Moana doll.
The oldest has an iPad to do like certain apps, but then like I'll pick up the iPad and there'll just be like 200 pictures of
totally
200 fuzzy pictures of like a doll foot. Do you know?
Yeah, they're bursting their doll foot.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's funny, dude.
Oh, man. Well, it was nice to visit with Donnell.
Yeah,
and,
man.
Cool
cat.
Yeah, what do you got going on the rest of the week? Oh, you're going out to New York in a few weeks?
Dude, what don't we have going on every single day?
I know, bro.
It's amazing how much we do. Yeah, dude, going to New York for a couple days. That'll be fun. You know, just getting ready for Black Friday with Burton Nutrition.
Cool,
it's
man.
It's a lot. A lot going on there.
Nice.
Our stuff with Stone Cold and the Jackal, and then some other stuff that we can't really even talk about.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just a lot going on. It's exciting. It's fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking forward to it for sure. What about you?
This weekend, we're going to Portland, Oregon for an Irish dance competition.
Oh, you are?
Yes. So we're flying
up
on Friday.
That.
And, yeah, so that's fun, and a lot of work on my computer, editing some holiday videos for our good friends. People are loving how they're turning out, so that's cool. And
those are always so fun to do, too, dude.
I know.
We're like standing in front of a cheesy green screen, which I love.
It's the best.
And it just makes it so fun.
It's the best.
So
yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Man.
All right,
signing
buddy.
Off.
Have a good week.
You too, buddy.
All right.
Thank you all for listening. Appreciate you.